happy Thanksgiving.
Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant or happy. I mean,
it was sincere. Anything? Anything?
Yeah, sure. Happy Thanksgiving, Jackie. What'd you do?
We went to friends on the Thursday, and then we were going to have friends over on the Friday. A couple of them got ill. There's no such thing as a 6-pound turkey. So I got turkey, is what I'm saying. I got leftover turkey.
Jackie, is it possible I could look at something besides your chair? Could you center your... Thank you. Thank you.
Is that something?
Yes. Yes. A center camera is always helpful.
Wow.
When's trying to make Zoom eye contact.
How's your young man back from the...
He's back. He's good. I will say that he is used to living by himself and leaving things out. So they're,
the retraining has begun.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You now live with other people. Mm-hmm. And but he's good. And I guess he started talking to himself a lot because he's living in his own place. And so there's a lot of extra words happening in this house.
A lot of mumbling. There's some mumbling.
Yeah. Just a lot of narrating of every single move I make. Like he's describing me to the police as I walk around the house. I don't know why that's necessary.
Ah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Do you have a set tonight at the Flaps?
I did. I had a 5-minute set. I mean, could there be less time? I guess
three.
Soon we'll be down to 3-minute sets. Jesus yeah. Christ. It's too many comics. I mean, Joe, I was in the Yoo-Hoo with Joe Wong, who just like crushed on Colbert, and Isma was on the lineup, but I didn't see him there. But I mean, in the Yoo-Hoo, Isma? Too many comics.
Right.
People
that
need
guy
to
came from Norway. That
people
guy
need, Finland, but people need to retire
from,
and,
yeah.
and not me, but everybody else. Get out. Get out.
Mm-hmm. Hard agree.
So tell me about your weekend.
So social, so many people, uh-huh. so much time. Uh-huh. Didn't do any stand up. I don't think. I can't remember. All I know is I went to a party. An old friend of mine who has even older friends. Uh-huh. So it's me and a bunch of 70-year-olds, which is, by the way, is getting younger every day. 70, and we had a white elephant gathering.
So
and
everyone
cards
brought something.
Against, yeah, some crap.
Okay.
From around the house.
Right.
And I picked the envelope because I thought it'd be lottery tickets. I was hoping.
What was it?
Let's see. Starbucks gift card. I'm boycotting. It was unfortunate.
Right. Right.
So they got 45 union, you know, that they closed 45 union stores.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People are, yeah.
One of the stores they closed was the one I used to hang out with at Joseph Rocha with before we would go to the Broadway or whatever. I used to
New
always
York City.
Walk by because he died. And I used to always walk by, you know, the last 8 years, 10 years since he died and be like, oh, Joseph, you know, you just have a little memory. There's the table we sat at, or that's the area because Starbucks is always remodeling. And then they fucking closed it.
Right. Right.
Jerks.
Boo. Mm-hmm. The only exciting thing in stand-up this week, I think, well, I've got Dork Forest news, but then, I occasionally, every 3 months or so, someone will be like, remember that album you did in 2003, Cake Is Not My Downfall, and you burned it yourself? And I was like, yeah, I remember it. And if you have a copy of it, congratulations if that CD still works. Because I ripped it and burned it on my computer.
I can visualize this more than I can visualize almost anything.
I put stickers. I put cake, because it was called Cake Is Not My Downfall.
Yeah.
I put pink cake stickers on the CD. I bought stickers and everything. And someone was like, will you put it on Bandcamp? And I said, all right, you completist bastards. Here it is. Give mm-hmm. me $9. And I have $500. I've sold so many.
People, you uploaded it to Bandcamp and people are just buying it?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. $500 is $500, as they say.
Yeah, they always say that. I wish they would stop saying that. They always talk. That's cool.
Sure. Yeah. So that's, but I've warned people. I'm like, the best bits from that album are on the Bread album.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there are other bits that are not. So that's what they wanted. And they have been warned. And now they can own that album.
I wonder, I mean, I do, like, I have old VHS, you know, that I've converted to digital for posterity. So my mm-hmm. great grandchildren can see how hacky I was when I started and it will inspire them. But some of it would still, I'm like, should I just, I would never, you know what, even good material, I'm too lazy to put out on Instagram, much less, you know, stuff that was good for someone who just started. that's a different metric.
Right. It would be, yeah, I was thinking about, because I also, the Bread album that I did put out, it was being put out too slowly by Stand Up Records.
Right.
And so I burned 1,000 copies of it myself with different cover art. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to put the title track on it. 1,000 copies, a landfill's worth of garbage, and just had a different joke entirely in that spot.
You paid someone to burn those 1,000. You weren't sitting at your little desktop burning them.
That was professionals. Okay. Made that look real nice. And it actually had the cover that I liked, because the cover that Schlissel had me shoot was, I was like, do you not get the joke? It's supposed to be a play on the Bread album, the band Bread. And Bread.
When you're referencing the band Bread, you are really heading towards niche territory. Okay. No one knows the band Bread, Jackie.
Does anyone know the band the Pogues? Because that's what the new album cover is.
They're more famous than Bread.
Yes.
Bread is very, very famous. And you've been to grocery stores. You've heard Bread songs. It's not my fault. I'm not saying I'm a fan. It's a joke. The bit is about see track number 7 on the Bread album, you guys.
I reject this entire discussion about a band from the 70s named after my favorite food. And I don't want to hear it anymore.
Done. But I'm thinking about, like, I could also just release that one track 7 that isn't the Bread joke that is on the one that I ripped inadvertently. The one that I published, rather, so, shall we say.
This is so confusing for me right now. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And after this podcast, I got to write some shit. So I'm very tired. Yes.
That sucks.
I'm on the morning shift this week.
Oh,
so I'm getting up at 6 a.m., open up a Google Doc and typing. It's
typity
cool.
Typity type.
These weeks are the morning shift weeks. I don't get much sleep, Jackie.
No. That's its own. That sounds like a real pain in the ass, honestly. But good for you.
It's fine.
No. The thing is, as you do it, it's just, it's just fact of life that it's
sleepy. It is like, it's right now I'm really sleepy, but when the alarm goes off at 6 a.m., I'll be like, ah, it's joke time. I have a job. I'm so happy. And I'll Listen, also, my preferred instant coffee is no longer being sold. I can't find it anywhere. It's not even for sale on Amazon. It's out of stock.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Right. Those bastards should be able to get a hold of everything.
I know.
What is it?
Oh, what's it called again? It's you know what? Hold on. I'm going to look it up because I think people actually do want to know.
I found some instant coffee loose in my backpack and I was like, oh yeah, I need some coffee right now. And I drank it. I'm not a fan of instant coffee very good. Much.
It's called Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso dark roast coffee. And it is sharp. It wakes me up and it gets me percolating, much like a coffee maker.
Which is not instant. And an right. old-timey 70s coffee maker.
I don't have to deal with grinds because it's instant. And it's really good. It's better than regular coffee, which I've been forced to make for the past 2 weeks, like an animal, you know? when will this instant coffee come back? I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it Italian? Is it foreign?
It is.
Maybe the tariffs got it.
Maybe.
Could happen.
Infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't do any stand-up on the road this weekend? I forget your schedule. Were you working with Maria?
I don't think so. I don't know what I did. Honestly, okay. I made a 14-pound turkey.
Wow.
And that's a lot of turkey is what I'm saying.
So you prepared a turkey?
Yes, I made a spatchcocked and brined it dry brined for 2 days.
Wow.
And literally no gigs. My
LA
Comics Unleashed
fucking
aired.
Sucks. Yes. And you're on with Gianmarco and Andrew Arulfo, right?
And Tahir,
Yeah, that's a great lineup.
Yeah, it was a really nice lineup. I had actually had a really good time listening to their jokes. It was
that's fun.
That was my favorite part of it. Mm-hmm. And then I posted things, and that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with Laura House. We went to Universal yesterday.
I saw a picture, and I can't tell you how not jealous I was that you guys were at Universal.
She knew which of us to bring to Universal if she wanted to have a good time. And it was me, just so everyone knows. It's me, Jackie Cation, enjoying the Universal. We went to Nintendo Land, and we went to Harry Potter Land, where I had Butterbeer. Mm-hmm. We went to the Simpsons ride. We went on the Mummy ride. Mm-hmm. We went on the Universal tour, which is always the best part of all of Universal, honestly, because you could see Jaws. And and the guy, the poor bastard who's been hired to pretend to be Norman Bates.
Oh, have you been watching the show based on Ed Gein? Your guy from Wisconsin, right? Isn't he yours?
Yeah, he's one of ours. Let me tell you something. I know as much as I want to know about Ed Gein. I'm good. The Ed Gein jokes when I was in grade school were ridiculous.
I bet.
They were all just like, what do you call this lamp? Ed Gein's sister. What do you call it? You know, I mean, they were just like the dumbest. So it's an Ed Gein documentary or?
It's the guy from Sons of Anarchy, Charlie Hummin, I think. Hunan Hummin? I don't know. He's incredibly attractive. does a really good job playing Ed Gein, playing a creep. He was great. You know what I
Men are really good at playing creeps. Maybe because they're creeps, man. Maybe because it's easy. Maybe. Sorry, Kyle. Sorry about that.
You're right.
There's some creeps out there, you guys.
Yes.
It's not all right.
But Jackie, your home state and my home state have really had some crazy fucking murderers in the 70s. You know, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I'm not even bringing up Charles Manson. I mean, he puts us over the charts, over the top. But you guys had held your own as far as I'm concerned, right?
Sure. We not just had Ed Gein. We also had Jeffrey Dahmer,
right?
Who my brother Scott used to share a liquor store with.
No. Tell me about this. I didn't know this.
That's the end of the story.
What do you mean share a liquor store? They owned a liquor store together?
They both went to the same liquor store. They lived in the same neighborhood.
Fuck.
So Scott would see Scott would see it. And Scott Cation, I have this to say, he gets shortchanged in our childhood quite a bit. Uh-huh. And I remember when Jeffrey Dahmer was arrested and they didn't release his name. And Nancy Cation, my stepmother, said to me, "Do you think it's Scott?" And I said, "No. No, I don't." I was about 19.
Oh, my God.
I said, "Wait, I think
because
Scott...
he was the same age. The profile was the same when they said age and height and all that kind of stuff.
And Scott had sort of disappeared from our lives.
Wow.
And was not talking to us. Scott does that. And right. And I was like, there's several things I know about Scott Cation. He could be an ass. I don't think he's a cannibal. And I don't think he's a murderer.
So you really stuck up for your brother by saying you don't think he's a cannibal. Wow, what a loyal little sis you are, Jackie.
85% sure. That's what I had. Pretty good numbers, I thought. I think everybody's got 15% chance of being a monster. So,
well, yeah. So I was at Laughs last weekend in Seattle.
Oh, right, right. How was that?
Very fun.
How's those Very guys fun. Doing? Those
They're doing fine. I think we had a good numbers because, it was the weekend after Thanksgiving and everyone's shopping and stuff. So
did you get a bump?
I don't know. I got more than I thought I was going to get. Or more. Yeah,
That's
I got
called
a little
a bump,
I think.
In the industry, we call that a bump. Jeez. Lori.
I'm not in the industry, Jackie. When I look at my calendar, I see that I'm no longer in the comedy industry.
When you do stand up on the road, here's what happens. Sometimes the numbers are good enough that they give you this thing. They call it a bump.
I don't know.
Okay.
The first shows of each night were good. And then the second shows were lighter, but they were fun shows. In fact, sometimes I do have more fun when they're lighter because I'm angry. And
right.
That's and when I let turn. Loose.
You can turn on the people who actually showed up.
Yes.
You're like
yes.
the shittiest priest in the world.
No, they love it. They love it. They want more.
Right. They, right. Essentially, if you were to talk about the negative space, the people who aren't there, yes, they were probably psyched. Your ice drinking makes me want some water.
Okay. Well, so anyway, those were some fun, kooky shows in Seattle. I went to Elliott Bay Bookstore. I haven't been there
Great
in
bookstore.
So long, and it moved, of course. I'm still used to, in my head, it being right near the Comedy Underground in Pioneer Place or Square. I forget. What is
it? I think
it?
It's a square.
Yeah, and then Pioneer Place is someplace, is Portland, right? Do they each have Pioneers, something Pioneer?
I don't know anything about a Pioneer place in Portland.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
I picked up a Portland, Maine for next spring.
Why won't that guy book me?
I think he's overwhelmed because I had to email him a lot. And then I emailed him once too many and I was part of a redundancy committee. And he was like, "No, you're in." And I said, "Apologies. Multitasking." So
I want to work in Portland, Maine. Karen Morgan, comedian Karen Morgan, is from Portland, Maine. And if she's not working, if she's home, we can swim together because she's a swimmer too.
Well,
and Jackie, my butterfly is coming along. Shoulders are completely healed. It's happening.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm also doing a show at my old high school, which has a performing arts center in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it with Tammy Pescatelli.
Oh, okay, cool.
Some sort of women of a certain age, ladies who are older than you think they are. Why are they still working? I don't know what it's called.
Jackie, okay.
Why aren't they buried alive?
Why do female comics, we get chopped up into these little pieces according to a certain time in our life? Young, hot, pretty women, mom comedy, menopause comedy, certain age comedy. I fucking can't stand it.
It's a lot. It's a bit of a freak show.
Yes.
But it turns out you take the work.
I know.
Yeah. So I started working on... Well, I'm not going to tell you about that yet. And I started something very, very It's so new, I don't even want to talk about it. But I will tell you this. My good friend, Tommy Ryman, remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new special and a new album out called Smashed Pancakes, I think. Whatever it was, I was watching it, and I laughed so hard. He did a bit about Chipotle.
Yeah.
Like, the business, but not just the business.
Mm-hmm.
It was a story that it was, there was an act out, there was a part with the audience, there was minutia that had to be known about fucking Chipotle. I don't know enough about Chipotle to write this bit.
Oh.
Here's what I knew enough about mm-hmm. to laugh at that bit. That's what I do.
You know what? I'm fine with context clues. I don't need to know. There's plenty of comedians. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know who these people are. If you listen to foreign comics, it's like, who are you complaining about? But guess what? I can substitute on my head some politician or some
laugh.
Comedian. Yeah.
And then laugh and laugh. Yep.
Enjoy it all. Maybe I'll look at things up, but I probably won't. You know, I appreciate the timing sometimes, right?
Right. I like the writing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. For some reason, my neck really hurts and I want to take this mic out of the mic stand, but that's when it all goes crackling rose. That's
right,
a
now?
Neil Diamond reference. Yeah.
It is. Oh, yeah. Even more annoying than bread is Neil Diamond references. And we're not even at the 30-minute mark.
I know. That's where it all falls apart for me.
We're five minutes from a Jim Croce reference from you, Jackie.
I don't know who that is.
You don't?
No.
He died in a plane crash.
Well, I wasn't flying it.
He had some song about childhood and parenting. I forget the name of it.
Oh, he's Cats in the Cradle, right?
Yeah.
No, that's Harry Chapin.
That's Harry Chapin.
Well, who's Jim Croce?
60s folk is maybe the genre I mess with least, so this is really one of my blind spots.
Well, who brought up Jim Croce?
I believe
maybe
you
should know who that is.
That would have been the one Lori Kilmartin.
Oh.
It's we're on episode 3 of The American Revolution.
So good, right?
I know. And as we go through it, I've studied the American Revolution. I've read a bunch of books about it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I study poli-sci, so I did take some American history. And I'll be like, oh yeah, that. And then they didn't do, remember Nathan Hale?
Yes, right. He's in there.
Right, but his famous last words are not in there.
What are his famous last words?
I thought they were like, give me liberty or give me death.
That's Patrick Henry.
That's Patrick Henry. That's right.
Who was not given death.
Right. Well, Nathan Hale was. And I cannot remember what Nathan Hale's final words were.
Hold on.
I have but one life to give to my country?
Yep.
Nailed it.
Yep, that's guy.
Mm-hmm. Well played. And I have to say that I really like what he's done with this from sort of a perspective of not just all straight white guys.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's good.
Yeah. It's inclusive. And it's because history, I mean, you have to be willing to, I mean, if you're willing to actually look at the facts of your life mm-hmm. and then face those facts.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine doing that historically, which is what this is.
Yeah, you can't just tell one story. There's 50 stories. There's millions of stories.
Right. It's pretty great.
George Washington, kind of a prick. I'm not a fan. I'm going to be honest. A real prick.
Sure. Of course. Are mm-hmm. you kidding me? Do you know that one set of his fake teeth were made out of his slave's teeth?
Yep.
That ain't mm-hmm. right. Do you know what that is? By definition, wrong. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not okay.
Then he orders Sullivan to, he writes down basically, do not let this general that he sends to the Indian villages. And he mm-hmm. says, you burn it all down. You burn everything down. You do not negotiate. You don't let them get away with anything. You don't let a certain amounts of them live. I mean, it was like they burned down orchards. They burned down crops. It was like real gross shit. you know?
Yeah, plenty of gross shit going on. Uh-huh. Like both sides with their prison systems. I remember reading a book about the prisoners of war on those barges in the river.
Oh, right.
Here's what I have been enjoying.
Yeah.
Some of the topographical maps of Manhattan.
I know.
With nothing on them but land, where you're like, oh, look, rolling hills.
I
never think of Harlem as rolling hills. I think of it as take the A, keep going.
And also, when they had Manhattan and Brooklyn like laid out in Queens, and you're like, these are all my subway stops. What the fuck? So funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a fair amount of disgusting warfare that's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder, had General Howe not made a few decisions, would it have gone the other way?
Could have. He could have shut it down.
He held back a couple times when Washington was expecting him to attack. And because he didn't attack, Washington was able to get away
Do you think that the speculation was that he was not sympathetic to the rebel cause, but sympathetic to other British subjects? And he didn't want it, like, he was like, well, maybe they'll come back into the fold, mm-hmm. where he didn't want it to be like white on white crime so much. Mm. So, well, who knows? Other than that, let's mm-hmm. see. So I've told you my Tommy Ryman story. Mm-hmm. Here's my last story. This one I've got. And then all I can do is speculate about the future, Lori.
Okay.
Ooh. It's Eddie Pepitone did the Dork for us today. And his dorkdom.
I love Eddie Pepitone.
His dorkdom is hot, old goss. And then he genuinely, for an hour, read to me from Wikipedia.
What?
It was hilarious. As only Eddie Pepitone, as only he could do.
So who is he gossiping about that is long dead?
Mary Pickford.
Oh.
Yeah. Like old school.
Right.
We talked Bob. The clip I put up was Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. The remember the road movies?
Of course.
I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I think my brother Russ told me that they stole all the those songs and stuff from vaudeville.
I heard that. I don't know where I heard mm-hmm. that from.
Everybody, I think. I think everybody knew that.
Okay. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing at work. You know, there's a bear that's moved under a house in Altadena and lives under the house, right? So it's a big story.
Oh my gosh, is it Maria's? Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess we had seen that clip at work, like when we were looking at clips, and I forgot we saw it at work, and someone mentioned it, and I'm like, oh my God, I saw that clip, and they were like, yeah, we all did. Oh, sorry.
Shut down.
Embarrassing. What an idiot.
I know. So, it's hard. Mm-hmm. I did so many social things with people that aren't comics that I just, and then they're very nice. Mm-hmm. People want to talk to me about comedy, and you would think with my ego that I'd want to tell them about it. But, I have so much work before the end of the year mm-hmm. that I'm only going to be home for about 9 days this month.
Right.
And it's kind of, so I was having a hard time. They were like, well, where are you going to be? What's it going to be like? Well, what's it like flying? How's the,
and I'm like, what's it like flying? What the fuck? You haven't been on a plane before?
Well, is it a lot? You know, these things, I mean, just normal. They're fine questions, but I mean, what am I going to say? Well, Southwest is charging for luggage now. It's a fascinating story. No, Jackie. I made you yawn just bringing it up.
No.
So
I'm yawning because I'm tired. Why? You insist, everyone insists on this fallacy that people yawn when they're bored. They yawn when they're tired. I'm tired. I'm not bored. In fact, when you bring up Southwest baggage policy, I got little sparks of fury all over my body while I was yawning.
Invigorated. Yes. Well, My first luggage is free. I think I told you, because Andy and I flew together and I had to check us in. I had to change our flight and we had two different confirmation numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. they let me do it mm-hmm. and they let us both have free luggage, okay. which they must. And I think I told you the story.
You did tell me that story.
This is why flying, not as fascinating as you think.
Well, people, Jackie, and again, to prove my point, you just told me that story and I got bored and I didn't yawn. Okay, because it has nothing to do with yawning.
All right. Other than that, I think I have a home for our sound system where we can also do sets. So I'll take that sound system when I can.
Oh, great.
And then also stickers. Tell me when you need more stickers.
Well, they should go out at the end of the year. We did have a couple new $20 a monthers recently. So
Thank
you, Patreons. And of course, the other, you know, we appreciate all numbers. The $10, you guys get your stickers every 3 months. And then mm-hmm. whether you want them or not, some people apparently don't want them. And so what?
I don't think they appreciate my clip art.
it's none of my business what you want. All right. Here's my business. The $10 and ups get stickers. That's my business.
It's a hell of a business plan.
Yes.
You're getting it anyway. Suck it up, people who support us.
And then the five and ups, you know, they get the Patreon interview. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This mm-hmm. We did the November. Mm-hmm. That was Brandy. And we have recorded the December.
Right.
And then. So that December can go up. And that was Valerie.
Yes. And we have our January, we'll get to her when she has time. Busy gal. We got some busy gals out there.
Right. I was so busy. I couldn't do a Doric Forest last week. I was too tie-tie. Not last week. Week before. One week was too much. And mm-hmm. it's the way of it. Do you want to take a break? I see you looking at the clock.
Hello.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast.
No, I'm sorry. No sales calls. Goodbye.
It's a multi-award-winning podcast featuring guests such as Ted Danson, Nick Offerman, Josie Long.
I don't know what a Josie Long is. And anyway, I'm about to take my mother into town to see Phantom of the Opera at last. You are wasting my time and, even worse, my mother's time. She only has so much time left. She's 98 years old. She's only expected to live for another 20 or 30 years. Mother, get your shoes on. Yes, the orthopedic ones. I don't want to have to carry you home again, do I?
Right, well, if you were looking for a podcast...
Mother, you're not wearing that, are you? It's very revealing, Mother. This is a musical theatre, not a Parisian bordello.
Simply go to MaximumFun.org.
I'm reaching for my Samsung Galaxy 4 as we speak. Mother! Mother, not that hat!
When I found out I was pregnant, I didn't know what to do until I heard about abortion pills by mail, a medically safe way to end a pregnancy. Learn more at PlanCPills.org. That's PlanCPills.org.
Comic of the week.
So I worked with two really funny women this weekend. So one of them is this week's comic of the week. And her name is Juno Men. She's very funny, very calm. I think sometimes when you're hosting, you have like 7 minutes. It's this frantic, which I would do too. Joke, whatever.
Oh my God, that's just total life.
Nothing, right? Like just mm-hmm. As little as possible. And so she had some really funny stuff that she just kind of set her own pace and was nice and slow. And it was really fun to watch. And it got the crowd interested in the show very quickly.
Oh, that's cool.
And she kind of flipped, like she's Asian. And I've heard the white guys do what she she kind of flipped it and was like, oh, I'll take this premise, please, because I'm the Asian one and you aren't. And she had a very funny way of dealing with it. So I love that. I love when a topic has been over-covered by people that are observing from the outside. And then an insider actually goes, oh, hey, that's me. I'll take it from here. Which, as a female comic, and you too, when in the 80s, it's like, oh, you know what? I actually go to the bathroom by myself and not in pairs all the time, Bobby Slayton or whoever, had 20 minutes on that. And I think I'll discuss it from my point of view, if you don't mind. So I always love to see that when somebody comes around and flips it up a little bit. So Gina was really funny. So check her out.
What's her handle?
Oh.
Seattle Juno.
Yeah.
J-U-N-O?
Yes, Seattle Juno. I have, I believe, done shows with her in Seattle. She is super funny.
Yeah, she is. And she's trans as well. So, yeah, it was a fun show. Mm-hmm.
I remember many years ago that it was at Largo. And so I was so shocked that somebody at Largo, at the old Largo on across from Cantor's, did a joke about women using all the toilet paper. Remember that old chestnut?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
provided classic husband comic material, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For decades. And so I had to follow that nonsense. And I was like, what a lot of people don't realize is that this is an opportunity for rebuttal. And I
feel like my whole career is rebuttal. I swear to God. Right. I swear to God.
And I said, picture this, fellas. Your balls are covered in urine. How much toilet paper are you going to grab? Probably a pretty good handful. Anyway, so it was quite an image. And it wasn't what I was always, I mean, it was never what I was looking for in the stand-up. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to paint a picture up there of like what the inside of anything looks like. Like, I'm not trying to paint the fleshlight for you. Mm-hmm. I like a joke where you have your own imagery. I don't have to say gross things or draw the thing. You, people who can and do and nail it, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't usually say the word balls on stage.
No, you're not. You don't. You're not a balls lady. I say it once, but I'm actually sort of making fun of comedy when I say it. But here's the thing. I started comedy because I was so irritated by what I was hearing about women from male comics. And I was like, someone's got to put a stop to this. And Jackie, I think I did. Male comics are no longer sexist or mischaracterizing women. Oh, you're welcome, all.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori Kilmartin. Not all heroes wear capes. Here's my question. How did you hear the jokes?
I started going to tons of comedy shows when I was in my the dark ages, the wild years, the wander years, the beyond the pale years between dropping out of college and starting stand up.
Oh, okay. That was the time when you started just going to shows.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
By myself.
And they weren't mics. They were normal shows.
No, they were shows. I went to the other cafe a lot in San Francisco, in the Haight. I went to the Punchline a little bit, but mostly I went to the other cafe. And then Foo Bars, which was an East Bay club. I went to a lot of those shows too.
Were they dodgy neighborhoods back then?
Or
were they fine?
I don't know. I mean,
it didn't feel dodgy?
Didn't feel dodgy to me, but I don't know.
No, I'm not saying you're not, because you're probably automatically living defensively, but yeah. Sometimes they even pierce that sort of normal living defensively thing where you're like, ooh, this is actually, noticing.
Yeah. No, the other was fine. It was in the Haight and it was, it was cool. I didn't feel unsafe there. I think the last time I felt really scared, like, oh, this is a bad idea. I don't know, like maybe 8 or 7 years ago, did you ever work this place? It was a little place in downtown LA. It was full of clowns. Like, it was all clown themed. There were clowns. No. I mean, like statues of clowns. and just everywhere. Clown imagery, clown statues, clown wallpaper, no, clown colors.
I would have remembered that.
Right.
Remember when there were carousel horses in your room?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that. You would remember it.
Times 100, okay? It yeah. was just clowns oh, everywhere, and they just had a show. And walking there, it was very desolate in downtown LA. And I was like, this... Like, I was like, I have a child. And right. if this is where I die and leave him an orphan, this is really fucking bad.
That would be
I
terrible.
I did have a spot and I didn't want to miss out. So I kept right. walking.
I've only had to ask a couple of times, probably three or four times in the last 15 or so years, mm-hmm. that to back to my car or, but I don't have any problem doing that either, just because I don't want to. I would rather say, will you walk into my car? I'll drive you back, than to walk yes. alone and be scared.
I do, you know, I do stomp. I will stomp. I will be just as tall as possible and stomp. And what I used to do was I would always pretend like I forgot something. So I'd run to my car. Like, I'd be like, God fucking damn it. Like, if you were a rapist, you'd be like, ugh. This one seems like she's going to fight back, right?
Right. I love the tiny act outs that we do. I would always do that on the subway. I would be like, I'm crazier than the rest of these motherfuckers. Yes, nobody's going to talk to me.
Yeah.
And so most of the, I mean, 80, everyone who does the subway normally mm-hmm. has either perfected that character.
Yeah.
And they don't have to actually mumble words.
Right.
Or they are actually insane. So I was in that in between where I was just, it was just a premiere production. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why I have a hard time using the public transportation when I go to New York, because I like to create a new character. No, I don't know why. I'm just lazy. I would just like to spend some money.
Yeah, I like taking the train, the subway to a spot, but coming back, there it's like it could be 50, you know, half hour wait in the train, in the station, and then, you know, yeah.
That's, yeah, and then it's 1 o'clock in the morning and it's irritating.
Yes, and I'm tired and I'm starting to like take lifts even though they're expensive. What? Sorry.
Yeah, and when I say irritating, I mean, this is not how I want to die. That would be irritating.
Right.
So, because it's mm-hmm. it's uncomfortable. I will say, what was the other thing that happened to me this week? Okay. Wait a minute. I do have another story. I had two friends in high school. Mm-hmm. And one of them sent me, he found our junior year yearbook. And I had signed it. And he didn't have a lot of friends either, because there was no other signatures on that page. And I had written a tome, because we, 16 was when I had 2 years of learning how to get friends. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten two friends. It was very exciting. And so I wrote this very long about all these awesome long conversations we had. And I was trying, it was the saddest thing I've read in my life, just because it turns out I have the same voice. Like, you, if you read it, you'd be like,
yeah,
oh, Jackie Cation read.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be funny. You can tell. And then I'm also not being funny. So that's where the sadness comes in. And it was the funniest thing was we were, it was mostly about like, the long conversations we would have about drugs and sex. Mm-hmm. And I had done neither of those things. I was 16. And I had not even kissed a guy when I was 16.
Same.
I had been attacked twice. And so I had been kissed, but it was not the same.
Gotcha.
And so it was very different.
Were you... At the beginning of your career, I was talking about sex acts in the beginning of my career that I'd never performed and wasn't even visualizing properly. I don't think...
Carmen Morales told me that one of her first bits was about vibrators and she had never used one.
Right, exactly. I don't think I knew what a blowjob was when I bragged about participating in them.
Yes, I worked with, it was six guys and me, right? Yeah. At the Comedy Cellar in Madison. One of the comics who came through was an improv guy, and he made us do And they would come for a month, these guys from the Comedy Store in 1984. And because it was cheaper.
Right.
And so he made us do this end of show, like a song and dance thing. It was some sort of curtain call thing. Mm-hmm. And there was the jerk off. This is how I learned the jerk off motion.
Oh, God, the jerk off. Ugh.
Right. So one of the other comics tap me on the shoulder and said, if you lean in front of them and do that, you'll get a big laugh. And I was like, yeah?
Oh, no.
I was easily the youngest 19-year-old you've ever met in your life.
Also, your eyes just were, I could see the 19-year-old, the greedy eyes. A laugh? Yeah. What do I do with my hand?
The worst. The very worst. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sadly, let's take that second break.
Just I know all about these sex acts now.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
What do you know about all the sex acts? I don't know about all the sex acts.
Well, no. I mean, some of our younger lady comic friends are getting real graphic, and I'm like, what? Why are you doing that? I mean, literally the sex act, not even the joke.
Right. I'm always just like, wait, that doesn't sound, is that
pleasurable?
Are you having a good time, says your Aunt Jackie? I suppose you're having a good time. All right. You knock yourself out, kids. And because, you know, they say consent isn't just you're not saying no. It is actively saying yes.
Right,
that is
right.
The definition of consent. It's not just not saying no. It's I am on board. Let us do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see.
What do you got? Where are you going this week? What are you doing?
You made fun of me because I wrote down the Pandora thing. And you said, every time you mention doing your Pandora ads, I write it down like it's the first time I've ever heard it.
No. To remind yourself to do it.
Yes.
Did you do it?
I did. They rejected all 15. I made 15 fucking ads and they rejected all of them.
Okay. First of all, only do one at a time and then delete them. Because they play with any track of yours.
No, I had these targeted. So, like, I had a little Chicago message for people that were listening from Chicago to go see me at the Comedyplex, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you start out with, hey, Pandora listeners? Because that's what you have to start out with.
No, I didn't.
So you didn't read the directions. So,
Jackie, but they're hidden. Directions, they're fucking gal. I fucking can figure this shit out.
You probably own an Allen wrench. You don't need to go looking for their Allen wrench. Yeah, you have to start it out with, hey, Pandora listeners, it's me, whatever.
Right.
And then you only have 15 seconds. And once you've said that, you only have 12 seconds.
Right.
So, but they work and they're free.
Well, I have to redo all of them, which I will.
Right. I did, I've done one for Indianapolis this weekend, which I am working with Maria. Uh-huh. And I am, honestly, I don't have any new material, except for that I've been looking back at this thing that I was working on with my sister. Uh-huh. And I think I'm going to work it out as material. And then Laura House had a suggestion. She was like, work it out as material and then flesh it out to be essays and stuff. It was just, it's just a sort of a book project thing.
Oh,
that,
cool.
It's very, very
much. Is that the thing you didn't want to mention about a half hour ago?
Yes.
I knew
you'd
break.
But then I ran out of things, right? I ran out of things to talk about.
Your resolve is shaky,
gone.
Jackie.
That's it. Everybody says that they want to see me do a long set, supposedly I believe I'm doing a long set. We all show up at the Haha Cafe and I'm doing 15. Well, we can storm the palace. But the Haha Cafe on the 12th, I'm doing a long set.
Cool.
So are you going to be here?
The 12th. I'm home.
Week from Friday?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you don't have a set, let's see if you can pick up a set.
Yes, yeah. Let's do it. Jackie, that's all I needed to hear. I'm writing it down in pen.
Oh, Jesus.
Opening for pen. Jackie.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I have this kind of power. I'll ask Jack.
I invest you with that kind of power.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. So you guys come to the Haha on the 12th to see Lori open for me and me work on what might be some new material. There you go.
I think, yes, please do that. I think I'm going to do that thing like an hour, you know, working it out.
Right. And I might have a place for you, which is why I need the sound system.
Oh, well, no, I'm going to do it at a place that has a sound system. What were you thinking?
Well, it'll be another place that'll be available for sets.
Okay.
I'm in talks to, they're going to run a monthly show. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to help them with whatever my time allows.
Okay,
and
cool.
And so I was like, I know Lori would like sets. And genuinely said that out loud. And they said, we would love that. So,
yeah.
Anticipation. Yes.
It's all, are listeners thinking we don't want sets?
No, I think everybody wants shows.
Yeah.
It's but the Federal burned down. No, it didn't. It closed and now it's in new hands. Because that used to be a place I could go up.
Wait, what burned down?
It didn't burn down. It was the Federal used to have stand up over on Magnolia on Lancashire.
Oh.
Off of Magnolia.
Okay. I never heard of it.
It used to have stand up.
Okay.
It was an old bank. And right. Then it was a kind of a what was it? Like an avocado toast purveyor. And now it's something else. God knows okay. What. So, but yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm home all of January. I'm genuinely going to find sets and then I'll let you know where I'm at.
Yeah. Sets are hard to find in LA right now. It really sucks. I think I've said this right. Before, and I will continue to say it as long as it sucks.
You don't have to think it. Know it. Know that you've said it before.
You know,
we were there.
I ran into at Flappers tonight, Ray Lau, who used to do our social media and kind of then did his own and
that
blew
man.
Up.
He sold out
the main room at the Comedy Store tomorrow night on a Wednesday
cool.
Night. That's crazy. That's incredible.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Congrats, Ray.
Yes.
You still listening? Is he still listening?
I don't know. When our students surpass us, that's good.
Right.
We did something.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. Get the work. Mm-hmm. Get the work. And I'm looking. My dad texted me today. He said, I got paintings. Sell my paintings. And I'm like, I don't know, Dad. I'm bored. But I could sell some of them that are around here right now.
Does he have,
and then when
did
I
you
see
have
him
an
and,
Etsy store? You could just put up an Etsy store with his stuff.
Well, then I'd still have to fulfill it, right?
Well, he would have to mail them, right? He could mail them.
Well,
can he
doesn't have a car.
Well, you can't fly back to Wisconsin to mail his things, but...
No, but he can usually mail me a stack of them.
Oh, he wants to mail them. Oh, I see.
And he also wants me to put them on my Instagram.
Oh, my God.
Which is what I've been doing for the last 5 years.
He's 88?
He's probably sold, yeah.
I mean,
it can't last forever.
How much more time do you have, right?
Right, right.
Might as well.
It's, sure. Well, it was last week when you were like, well, I have at least until next August. And mm-hmm. And we're going for Christmas. So it'll be super fun. They'll have ice sculptures and an omelet station, We're going for Christmas brunch. So he loves an ice sculpture and an omelet station.
An omelet station feels like such the Midwest Christmas. Doesn't it?
Well, it'll be, yeah, for, and you know what really does though? Shrimp ring.
Ooh, so, God.
I know. You're not really a, I can't imagine you eat fish or crustacean. I was going to say crustacean.
Because they're bouncy. I don't like that texture, you know?
The guy that I worked for on Cape Cod for 3 summers, we did lobster rolls. Mm-hmm. And we also did, and he would never eat any crustacean. He was like, they were the insects of the sea, he said.
You know,
and I was like, that guy drank all day long and he wouldn't eat a lobster. Like he started at 9 a.m.
I had such a crush on Anthony Bourdain, but he would have hated me because I don't like to eat a lot of stuff he just would dive into. So,
right.
When that he guy died, was a fear no like, food. We wouldn't have married anyway. So that tempered my grief.
Yeah, I think it was on the table too.
I think it was Jackie.
I used to do that joke about how when I first moved to LA, somebody told me Keanu Reeves was gay. And I said, I don't think it's ever going to matter. I don't think I'm ever going to be turning him down.
Because he's a long time girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I think he's fine. Whatever he would like to have sexy times with, Keanu Reeves gets to have sexy times with. I hope it's lovely. Mm-hmm. And I always thought he was handsome and I always thought he was cute. And somebody said, well, you know, he's gay. And I'm like, yeah, not ever going to be a real. I also had a crush on Racer X. I didn't think I was going to fuck a cartoon.
I did too. So...
did you too? Do you know why? Because he was mysterious.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But he wasn't because his name was Rex Racer and he changed it to Racer X.
Mrs. Lori Racer, Mrs. Lori X. Yes, it all worked. Jackie, I'm at the Ice House this Saturday. You gave me his contact. He gave me a spot. 7:30 show.
That's it.
Then I'm at the Improv on Thursday. I'm doing Pam Walt's show at the Improv Lab. Ooh, I gotta retweet.
You got sets.
I do have sets.
Shows.
It's every other day, and it's when it's momentum is not being built. It's maintenance, and I want forward motion. I don't want to just maintain. But we do what we do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at the Comedy Flex.
I'm gonna be
in Chicago, 19th and 20th. Come on out, gang.
On the 11th, I'm opening for Maria in San Jose.
Nice.
And then on the 12th, doing the haha.
At the Improv and then, in San Jose?
Yep. And then I think on the Sunday, I'm doing Largo with Patton. And then I'm...
Patton is on a tear. Here. He is promoting his special, Black Coffee and Ice Water, I think, or Ice Water and Black Coffee. But he's out there complimenting all the comics he loves, and it's kind of cool. He mentioned my name on Bill Maher's show, and I wasn't going to listen because I can't stand Bill Maher, but I was like, all right, I got to listen.
Sometimes people will say, hey, somebody mentioned your name, and I was like, time code or it never happened.
Bill Maher is so dense and so stubborn, and Patton is so generous, and like I would have yelled and stormed out. I couldn't have listened to this guy. His conclusions are so ill-formed and stupid that it would just be irritating to me. I wouldn't have patience, but Patton has a huge amount of patience. And he did a great job batting away Bill Maher's dumb concerns.
Oh, God. Did you, have you ever worked with Bill?
Mm-mm. I know you have, though.
I have once, but, and I met him, I think, 3 times. Mm-hmm. But did you ever meet him or see him in the green room? Mm-hmm. It's so weird who we never interact with,
I know.
So, and versus, you're not missing anything. He's an idiot.
Versus, so, I don't know, like when you see on social media, you're like, oh, you two are friends? That's weird because I don't know this person. And you just started stand-up 5 years ago and you're best friends with, it's so weird.
Oh, well. I know. Dave Hill knows Dick Cavett. I want to meet Dick Cavett.
Me too.
That's my dream. But
I don't want to not meet him, but it's not, I'm not going to go out of my way to meet him.
I flew to New York because we were going to go to lunch and he wasn't feeling well, so couldn't do it.
Wow.
So I just did a bunch of sets.
Well, if I had a lunch date, I might, you know, I'd get a little amped up.
It'd be pretty cool.
I went with Bernie Pauly and Katie Massa Kennedy, I think. We went to see Don Rickles right before he died. And we wanted to meet him afterwards. And his manager's like, no. And you could tell he just didn't think women were comedians. I was like, I work for Conan. I write for Conan. I'm a comic. We're all comics.
And Conan, then we could just Conan, like, he's a guy. Anything?
Yeah, really. And we could see into the green room where Don Rickles is just sit, you know, standing there. And there's a couple of people there. But it's like, we just want to say hi and, you know, like worship him. I think he'd love it. And the fucking piece of shit wouldn't let us in. And so, and then Don Rickles died. So really sucks. I hope Rickles left nothing in his will for that manager.
I worked with him, Don Rickles, on the Murphy Brown. He was the secretary.
Oh!
And I did worship him, and he was made uncomfortable. So it wasn't great. It was not good. I was slightly overwhelming.
Yeah, sure, so. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And which is funny because I never liked Rickles. He was not really? My kind of comedy at all. No,
I mean, as he got but older, it, but, and as times
a, but as an icon, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it got very cringy. But for a time when he was on Carson, funniest shit ever. Funniest.
Well, the clips I've seen of him just busting chops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Carson.
Yeah.
Busting chops of like those guys. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra,
yes.
Carson,
yeah,
like just not, sort of
not now
powerful
Frank,
white
I'm eating.
Guys.
You know that story?
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
god. Oh my god.
That's they show it all the time.
Amazing.
It's so good, and yeah, it's one of my faves.
Yeah,
but it's been great talking to you, Laurie. I have to go.
Me too.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly by you.